Good evening. Welcome to Calvary Fellowship Monument for Saturday night, the 9th of January, 2001. Glad to be done with the year 2020. But as crazy as 2021 has started off, maybe we don't want this either. But we are here with it, and tonight we are going to be able to get into the Word of God and be together one with another. I am George Sweat. I'll be filling in for Tony this evening, and I do hope that he's in our prayers that he'll get over this COVID, and we'll be praying for him tonight, and for Kyla, and for Josh, and for Deb, that the presence of the Holy Spirit will give them peace and comfort and healing in these hard times. Also, I just would covet your prayers for my mother-in-law, Doris, Janine's mother. She's come down with COVID. She has been in the hospital, and she has just been released from the hospital and put into a hospice. So I just would like us to just lift her up in prayer and know that the Lord is going to be with them all as they fight this ugly thing called COVID that's changed our lives immensely for the past almost year now. And it looks like it's going to keep on for a little while longer. So our prayers are going to be with them and with us as we try to continue on through the different lives that we have going on because of COVID going on. So we thank you for your prayers. We thank you for being here tonight to study in the Word of God together and to be together as a community of believers. It's hard to be together when we're here just on the on the phone and on Facebook, but we are together, for we are communing together, for we are studying the Word of God together. I can't wait for that moment when we get back together again. We've done it once before, and we'll get a chance to do that again. So hopefully coming up in the near future, we'll have a chance to do that, with Tony being healed and, with the opportunities of us to be able to get together now that we've gone from red to orange and being able to get together a little bit more safely. So we look forward to that opportunity and that time when we can get together, when we can worship together, in music and in song as well. And I'm just glad that I don't have to be leading that because I am not the world's best singer, that's for sure. God has different gifts for each of us, and that's one that seems to have eluded me. How much through these crazy days this week, with the election and with all the other things that have been going on, how much we long for the return of our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our salvation, and we look forward to coming to Him to be able to get us out of this world of death and sorrow, and how we long to be with Him. There's so many verses that talk about His return. In 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and Matthew chapter 24 and in Revelations, just with all the different things going on this week, this really came to my mind as I was preparing to study tonight. And as we get ready to get into the book of James together, that's what was on my mind. But there's also comfort and peace in the Lord. Paul said in Philippians, be anxious for nothing. And a verse that stood out to me as I was studying this week, and going through the Psalms, I was in Psalms 118, verse 24 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." It doesn't say, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice, be glad in it, but I'm going to have these hard things that are just going to, not allow me to do that." It says, no, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, there can be suffering, and yes, there can be sorrow. But the good thing is the Lord gave us this day, and He gave us the strength to worship Him, the strength to love Him today. And that's what we want to do, is to love Him with all that we are. And that's the things that was encouraging me through Psalms 118 when I got to that verse. It just that verse is just so strong, that this is the day the Lord has made. Let the other things fall aside. Let them go as they may, but let us rejoice and be glad in it, because this is the day the Lord has made. The Lord made this day, all the beautiful snow, been able to have a fire in the fireplace. There can be dangerous things. You can drive it on the road. They can be slick. So it just depends on your whole attitude of what you want to be doing. you know, for those things. So this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm glad we can be together. I'm glad that, you know, Evelyn and Tony and Deb and a lot of other believers have joined us this evening to be able to be together and to love one another by studying the Word of God together. So let's just remember, let's, you know, no matter how we're feeling, we are not ruled by our feeling. We can be ruled by the God who made us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And that's one that helped encourage me this week. And another one that, you know, helped me, you know, get on that same idea, you know, that Paul had of be anxious for nothing was in one of my morning studies. It says, the Lord spoke through me in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. So sometimes we don't know what to do with the situations that are going on around us. We don't know how to deal with the situations, you know, that are going on, you know, in the political realm. We don't know how those ramifications are with our spiritual life. But it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. So if you're struggling on a decision, should I do this or should I do that? Do I need to go this way or do you need to go that way? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, number one. Two, do not depend on your own understanding. Three, seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. It's not always easy to make those decisions. It's not always easy to come to a good conclusion about what His will is. But one way you can find out what His will is by studying His Word. Studying the Word of God. Having a good prayer time each day. Having a good time, a quiet time with the Lord, either in the morning or at night or both. You know, having a time when you can seek the Lord. You know, having these times when we can get together on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Right now, we're still planning on Tony gathering together with us on Wednesday to continue on through the attributes of God. You know, God willing, that'll happen this week if the Lord sees fit to heal him up well enough to be able to do that. And right now we're planning on that. And so that's what we need to look forward to, is another time where we can get together in the healing of our brother Tony and his family. So those are things that came to me this week as I was preparing for this study. And I just wanted to let you know that God doesn't leave us alone in these situations to fend for ourselves. He doesn't want us to be fearful and to be creating our own bunkers that we need. Jesus did not do that, you know, when they were coming to take him and put him upon the cross. He didn't have his followers bear arms and fight for him, which he could have done. But he did not. It was not the time for that to happen. And we just need to understand what time it is for us and what the Lord would want us to do. If we're persecuted, let us be persecuted for loving Jesus. Let us be persecuted for loving Jesus, not for doing other things. Not by hating or not by tearing down another person. Let's lift up one another. Let's pray for one another. Let's let people know that the only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ, the Son of the living Father in heaven who has created this world. Those are the things that we can do. But we don't have to be fearful. We don't have to crawl into a shell. We get to have fellowship one with another. And I thank God for this opportunity and this platform and that this has not been shut down. I thank God for this opportunity to love and share with you the love of Jesus Christ. And I'm not ashamed of that, and neither should you. So we need to take a stand for loving God and not be ashamed of that. And let's seek God daily and trust in Him so that we can know what His will is for our lives. And as we've gathered tonight, let's pray before we get ready to open up the Word of God together. Now that we've had a chance of an introduction for the evening, and I do pray... Lord, that this evening will be a blessing to you. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you would reach out and touch Tony and Deb and Kyla and Josh. Lord, protect Jeffrey. And I pray that you would be with Doris, my mother-in-law. And I pray that you would put your healing hand upon them, and that you would comfort them and give them peace. For whatever you have forward for them, that you would bring it out to be, that your will would be done, Lord. And that we could be comforted in the fact that none of these things take you by surprise, and that you know about all the crazy things that are going on. At the same time, we can have that peace that passes understanding as we put our trust and our hope in you, and not in our government, and not in the things of this world, not in our money, and not in our home, but we put them in the Heavenly Father's hands. We know that he will protect us and lead us and guide us. I pray this evening, Lord, that you would open up our eyes and our hearts to the Word of God as we study it together this evening. I pray that you would take away the distractions that would try to send us away, whether it be football or dinner or games or homework that has to be done. I pray that we would have this time, Lord, to truly focus in upon you, trust in you, and know that as we seek your face and your will, we put you first, that you'll make it clear the things that we need to do. It's in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Well, I do thank you again for gathering together with us as we get ready to turn into the book of James and chapter 5. And we'll be going through verses 7 through 11 tonight. Hopefully I'll be able to make these few verses last a little while, and that we can bear much fruit from what is being said through these passages, and that we can dig deeper into them and be grafted, like we heard last week as we studied the Word of God, that we'd be grafted in to our Heavenly Father, and that the Word would flourish in us and help us to bear fruit as we seek to follow after him and put him first in our lives. Okay, James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and latter rains. You too be patient and strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the patience of Job, and you've seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. The book of James is one that for me is very interesting, because it helps us to deal with pain and suffering. It helps us to deal with the struggles that we have in our Christian walk. It helps us walk through, you know, life not being perfect here on earth, and us having to deal with those things. And I like how real James is in dealing with these situations, and that there isn't always easy answers for what is going on. But yet how he says he's going to deal with these situations as they arise. He's not going to run away from them. He tells us not to want to run away from them. Like I was saying before, we don't want to go run and hide in a bunker and stay away from everyone and be fearful of this life. For from this life, we get to go on in eternity to walk with our Heavenly Father and be with him. And at the very beginning of these passages tonight, James says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Being patient sometimes is very hard to deal with. You know, whether it be misinformation that we're getting over the internet, may it be, the different struggles and strifes that are going on, the different riots that are going on. This year has been a year filled with many riots and troubles, both from the left and from the right. And it's a struggle. It really is to do what is right. It's do what is right in the sight of God. You know, if we're going to be Christians and we're going to live in this world, we should be, you know, when we do get in trouble, it should be for loving Jesus Christ and sharing that unashamedly, not for hating on someone because of the color of their skin, not on hating someone because of their political affiliation. It should be we should be loving one another into the kingdom of God. We should be loving our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We should be helping the body of Christ in this time. When we can't get together, we should be reaching out to one another. We should be seeing what we can do to help one another with. I can't go and visit my mother at the at the long-term care facility where she is. And she had COVID earlier in the year, as you guys know. It's still a struggle because I'm not a great person with phone calls. I'm not a great person with all the different technologies that are going on, which is amazing since I'm right here on Facebook, you know, doing this. But yet I don't do a lot of FaceTime with people. I don't do a lot of these other things. So being without that fellowship has been a struggle. And yet at the same time, I know that the Lord is watching over my mother. I know that the Lord is still doing great things. Reach out. You know, and I'm speaking to myself because I need to do that more, you know, with my mother. I need to do that more, with other family members, and not be so, you know, introverted and just looking at my own situation and my own problems and look out to see how I can help one another. And we need to do that as the body of Christ. Give someone a phone call. Give somebody, you know, some encouragement. Thank you for what you did. Bless you. Hey, is there anything I can do for you? What do you need? You know, with some of the restaurants and things opening up, maybe we can get together with with some socially distanced fellowship. There's some different things that we can do. Use the opportunities that we have to be able to share and love with one another, with the people that you work with, the people that you socialize with. We can take our stand in our Christian walk without having to rub that into other people's faces. Hey, do you want to go out on Saturday night? Well, Saturday night I have that set aside for church, you know, and you know, when you're committed to that, you know, people will notice that. People will start asking questions. You know, well, why do you do that? Give you an opportunity to share in a way that maybe you hadn't had before. But therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The Lord is coming. The Lord has promised, and the Lord is coming back. Some of us this week might have been hoping that it would be sooner than later, and the way things look, it could be, but at the same time, we need to be patient because he's not here yet, is he? It could be tomorrow, it could be 2 years from now, it could be 2,000 years from now. For even, you know, Paul and some of the disciples were looking for a soon return of Jesus Christ at that time. So how much closer are we today than then? Yes, but could it be another 2,000 years? It's up to the Lord. You know, we have our job and our responsibility. The one job he gave us was to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Are we doing these things? Are we sharing the love of Christ? Are we sharing that there is only one way to salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ? You know, those are the things the Lord says, therefore be patient. But we also need to be diligent and be doing what we're supposed to be doing. And not be getting frustrated and not being, you know, cowering away in a corner, going, oh, I'm just waiting for his return. I just can't be with the way things are. We need to stand firm in our love for Jesus and to go out and to love one another and to show one another. You know, they're going to know we are Christians by our love. They're going to know how we take care of each other, how we reach out and minister to one another. And one thing we need to do is let each other know when you have a need. In these days when we don't get a chance to get together as often as we would like, you know, on Saturday evenings and Wednesday evenings, to be able to just be in worship one with another. Let us try to get together, and and spend some time in ministry one with another, whether it be on the phone or seeing what we can do for a friend. Make a meal. We can't go out together. Make a meal for a friend or buy a meal and send it to a friend's house for the evening. Do something a little bit different, a little bit out of the ordinary. Why not? You know, people in this world have been doing these things, you know, all through the pandemic. They've been paying it forward, as they say. They've been going through their drive-thru and paying for the next person in line. Nice thing to do, but what does that really have to do with our, you know, our heavenly relationship? Except that it allows kindness to be shown one to another. And when people ask, why are you being so kind, we can let them know that it's out of our love for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, you can use those things as a chance to witness, but it doesn't have to be as a witness either. It could be just in caring for one another. We do need to care for one another and help each other. But therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. We don't need to be anxious. We don't have to try and make it happen. My brother Tom Stipe, you know, was so looking forward to the coming of the Lord. He worked with Calvary and a lot of the music things that they did in the early 70s and through the 80s and through the Vineyard music as well. And it's just all the different things he did. You know, a lot of that music was talking about the coming of the Lord. You know, even the term Maranatha that they brought out, you know, looking for the coming of the Lord and his coming soon. You know, those are some of the things he was looking forward to. You know, we have that to look forward to, but we have a job to do while we're here. Be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord, for he is coming. Some might count it as being slow. I count it as being just and being kind and being merciful, that he's drawing as many as he can to himself so that we can all be in fellowship one with another in heaven with those that we love and care for. So let's look at that first verse. Therefore, be patient, brethren. Be patient is also talking about calming our spirit and allowing us not to be anxious, as it was saying, you know, in some of the other passages we read a little bit earlier. But also, we can look forward to the coming of the Lord. That's what it says, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. And then we'll have different jobs to do. But until then, we have a job to do now. And now he gets into the next verse where he starts talking about that. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil. Last week we talked about being grafted into the vine. Now we're getting into another farming passage. Another passage where we're planting and growing things. You know, I have a few plants behind me here, as you see, growing. You know, I haven't grafted any of them, but, you know, you do have to water them, you know, and to keep them alive, you know. So a farmer waits the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until it gets the early and the latter rains. And it needs early and latter rains. You need the early rains to get it to sprout and to get it to grow. The latter rains so that the produce can grow plump and firm and produce, you know, its produce. So it needs the early and the latter rains. And we have to be patient as the farmer is patient. Because when that first sprout grows up, you go, where is my corn? You know, it's only an inch high. You know, I want my big ear of corn and I want it now. You know, be patient. That's what we talked about before at the beginning of the passage. The farmer waits. The farmer's patient for the precious produce of the soil. Being patient about it until it gets the early and the latter rains. The early and latter rains can be inconvenient at times. You know, it can cause mud. It can cause, you know, it can cause all kinds of travel problems. But if it makes the green grass grow, you know, and bring the May flowers, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, that's what we're looking for, you know, is that produce. But it does not happen overnight. And you do have to be patient. And it takes time to till the soil, to water the soil, to let it have time to see the sunshine, let it have time to get those early and latter rains so that the plants can be filled with the water so that that they can produce the fruit of the soil. So those are some wonderful farmer analogies that we've had the past couple of weeks. But it also talks about that patience that he talks about at the beginning of chapter 7. The farmer waits for the precious produce, being patient about it until it gets the early and the latter rains. You know, and the latter rains, you have to wait for those to get over, you know, so that you can harvest your produce, so that you can bring it in and you know, without the troubles of rot and you know, mold and all these other issues that can happen if you wait too long to bring it in, or if you wait too late. It needs to be just at the right time, but you have to have patience for that time to have happening. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until he gets the early and the latter rains. And you think there's a little pattern going on here? The next verse says, you too be patient. You too be patient. Strengthen your heart, for the coming of the Lord is near. We have the comfort of knowing that our Heavenly Father is coming to us, that Jesus, our Savior, is coming to us. The one who last week no longer calls us servants, but friends, is coming to us. And it says, and the Lord is near. And just the way that these words are constructed and put together, the Lord is near, it's talking about a tenderness, just like, you know, you're coming near to your mother or your father as a child, you know, and how that comfort and that peace is there. You too be patient, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. We can have confidence that our Lord is not leaving us out and hanging us out to dry. And even if we are persecuted to death and we have to die upon a cross, let it be for us loving Jesus Christ. For even in that, we know that the coming of the Lord is near and we'll be able to see him. You know, as Stephen was being stoned in the book of Acts, you know, he was able to look up and see the face of God as he was doing what the Lord had asked him to do. Are we doing what the Lord asked us to do? Are we spending our time worrying about, well, I don't know, if I lose my job, am I going to have enough money to pay my rent? I'm going to have to give up my car. I can't make my car payments. You know, are we too worried about those things, or can we put them into the hand of the Lord? Can we trust him to know that his coming is near, but to know that he is with us now, that he's given us his Holy Spirit? That's one thing that we have, you know, that the disciples didn't have before Jesus died upon the cross. After Jesus died upon the cross, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and Jesus was inside of them. Jesus is inside of us through the Holy Spirit. We have the presence of the Lord at all times. We don't have to take a trip to Jerusalem to go into the temple to be able to be into the presence of God. We can seek God in him. We can seek him now. We can fall down before him now and repent of our sin, and he is holy and just to forgive us now because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So we don't have to run to those things. We don't have to run and make a sacrifice each time we fall and stumble. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We can come to him. He's there for us. The coming of the Lord is near. What a comfort that is, that the coming of the Lord is near, that we're not going to have to live in these scary and interesting times, you know, with all the different political unrest, with, you know, with people hating one another, with people not liking one person because of the color of their skin, another person because of where they're from, another person because they have an accent. You know, those types of things, we need to love one another. We need to show one another what Christ's love really and truly is. It's sacrificial love, one for another. And that the Lord is coming, and the Lord is near, and the Lord's presence is here with us today through the power of his Holy Spirit. He can take away that anxiousness that's in your heart. He can take that away. You don't have to live in anxiety. You don't have to live worrying about what's going to happen on January 20th. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen. Is there going to be, are they going to try to get rid of the president before the 20th of January this month? Do we have to worry about these things? Or can we put our trust in a heavenly Father and a God who's created this world to begin with, who knows what is right and just? And won't he be there to protect us? For he is near, it says right now. You too, be patient. Be patient. Trust in the name of the Lord. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. How do we strengthen our hearts?
Well, I'm just going to strengthen my heart. I'm going to do 34 push-ups tomorrow, and my heart's going to feel good.
Well, how do we do that spiritually? We spend time in prayer. Lord, this is bothering me. Lord, I'm worried about this.
lay it at the feet of God and let Him take care of the situation. We can do that. We can have our trust in our Heavenly Father. For we know that as we strengthen our hearts by following Him, by talking to Him in prayer, by reading His Word, by studying His Word as we are tonight and gathering together with other believers, as we get together on Wednesdays and study as well, we should be doing that every day. And we should have that to be able to share one with another as we get together and fellowship one with another. And once again, I'm saying encourage one another. I pray that as you go this week, someone you haven't talked to, someone that you missed from church, give them a call. Hey, I missed you. I care about you. I love you. This is what I've read in the Bible. This is what's been encouraging me. You know, or I've got this prayer request. Will you pray with me? You know, it's okay if we're not comfortable. It's okay if we're not all good. It's okay to say, I need prayer. It's okay to say, hey, I stumble. It's okay to say, I haven't had a quiet time in a while. Please pray for me. I haven't had time to pray. I've forgotten what it's like to walk with Jesus in every moment of every day. I get distracted so easily by things. Then pray with one another. But I do encourage you this week, grab a person that you haven't talked to for a while. Give them a call, at least. And if you want to, you know, if you feel comfortable enough to, say, hey, let's get together for a moment or two. Let's share with one another. And if you're not comfortable with that, it is okay. Just together, get together just as we are online. Get together. Do a Facebook chat. Do a FaceTime, whatever, those things are called. The Marco Polos, all the different kinds of different things you can do to share with one another. But spend some time. Just making a phone call makes a whole world of difference and encouragement in somebody's life. And so you too be patient, strengthen your hearts, and strengthen them by studying the Word of God, by loving the Word of God, by joining together with other believers in digging into the Word of God. For the coming of the Lord is near. What a comfort that is, and what an encouragement we have to share with one another. The Lord's coming is near. He will be here soon. Let's prepare a place for Him. Let's be ready for Him as He's getting ready to come back. Let us tell people, you can come into the heavenlies. You can have eternal life. You can have love that passes all understanding. You can have forgiveness for whatever you've done. You can have forgiveness for the things you've done, even if you are a Christian, you know, and you're dealing with guilt. The Lord can forgive you because the coming of the Lord is near. Let us give that encouragement to one another. The coming of the Lord is near. And as he's talking about this, he's talking about patience in the first few passages here. He comes up to the next one. You know, he's talked about strengthening our hearts for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is right at the door. Who is the judge? The one who is coming. The Lord who is near. The judge is standing right at the door. He's right here. Judgment will come. Judgment will happen. Judgment is not something we want to look forward to, you know, for those that we disagree with. For that judgment is going to be eternal. It's eternal separation from God and from us. It'll be eternal separation. We have eternal joy and fellowship with God and with one another. But those who do not receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior do not get to get into heaven. They do not get to get the presence of the Lord. And the Lord has gone and prepared a great place for us, for those who believe and trust in Him. The coming of the Lord is near, but do not complain. Do not argue, brethren, with one another, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge stands right at the door. The Lord is the judge. And guess what? No matter what your political standing is, God is not a Democrat. And God is not a Republican. That might come as a shock to a lot of us. Because we might say, well, this one party seems to, you know, favor life. They stand against abortion. Okay, that's a good thing. But that doesn't get you into heaven. It's loving Jesus Christ. It's having Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and not being afraid of that name and not being afraid to say that there is a heaven and there is a hell and there is a judge and there is judgment coming. And the way to be forgiven is to repent of your sin and follow after Jesus. Jesus says, one of the commands he's given us is, follow me. So let's follow Jesus. Let's follow after him, for his coming is near and he is the judge. But I really don't know if I want to sit there and go, I'm going to be grateful, you know, for that judgment. I'll get to see, you know, those evil people be judged. I'm not looking for that kind of a judgment. I would rather see that person repent of their sin and come into the kingdom of God with me, even though they might seem like an enemy at the moment. I would rather be able to walk with them in heaven as a friend. And if I have to risk that right now, by not being their friend, by letting them know that there is only one way of salvation, and that is through the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed upon the cross, and that he was raised from the dead, and that he sent us his Holy Spirit, and that he is coming back to bring us home and to make us perfect and holy. Let's trust in him. Let's love him. Let's share that with those that are around us. Let's be patient and know that that is our job. Let's strengthen our hearts by getting closer to him. The coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain and bicker with one another, brethren, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is right at the door. You know, I really am having a hard time sometimes with things, because when I tend to judge someone, it's usually about a sin that I have a problem with, that I am dealing with. Well, look at them and how bad they are. And that might be what I'm dealing with in my heart as well. Because it's easier to see the faults in someone else than the one in our own lives. We fall short of being perfect. So we do need to repent daily and often. But the more we walk with God, and the more we know his face, we know that he is there, he is a gracious God, and he's willing to love us and forgive us if we are to but ask. So don't complain, brethren, against one another. We might not agree on all things, but we need to agree on certain things. And those certain things we can agree upon, and that's what we're supposed to share one with another. That Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God who has created all of creation. That he came to this earth, that he lived, and that he died upon the cross. That his blood was shed for my sin and yours, for he was holy and just. He did not commit sin. He was nailed to the cross because of my sin and yours. And even our sins as believers, since we became believers, that sin is still disgusting and gross in the face of our Heavenly Father, for he is holy and he is just. We do need to pray and repent of our sin and follow after him. Let's strengthen our hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. But let's not complain. Let's not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is right at the door. Our Heavenly Father will judge, and his judgment will be sure, and it will be just. And his loving kindness will make us holy and pure. He will take away all the sin that is in our hearts and our minds. He'll take away the sin of our other brethren, who we bite and complain against and fight against. Let's learn to love one another. For the judge is right at the door, and sin will be judged. And we do need to speak up for that as well. Because, you know, in this day, it's not very popular to say that there's a heaven and there is a hell, and that people will go there. You have the opportunity to go to heaven. But it's not fair about these people over there. God will justly judge them as well. But let's look at your heart. And let's look at you.
You're the one that I have the opportunity to share with tonight. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that he can forgive your sins? Do you believe that his blood was shed upon the cross so that we could have life and have it eternal? Believe and trust in him. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And there is a Heavenly Father, there is a Jesus, there is a Savior, and there is a friend. We are gathered to hear as Christians loving each other and trying to care for one another. Let us not bicker and fight with one another. Let's show the world how to love one another and how to love them as well. For we're called to love the body of Christ, and we're called to share Jesus Christ's love with a dying and hurting world. For he did not heal only the Jewish children. He also healed Samaritans. He also healed Gentiles. He wants us all to come into the kingdom of God. He'll forgive us as we repent of our sin. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Enter into my heart. I follow after you. You've called me to follow you. I will follow you. That is what being a Christian is about. Let's share that with our brothers instead of complaining and fighting and hurting one another with our words and saying, I no longer can have fellowship with you. You know, let's learn to stand upon the things that we can. And let's learn how to love with the compassion and love that Jesus Christ had. Which means we stand against sin. We don't live in sin. Doesn't mean compromise and all that is okay. No, you still stay away from sin, but you learn how to love and be gracious and to be kind. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. The time is short, the time is at hand, and our job is to go into all the world sharing this message of good news that the God of heaven cares for us enough to send his son so that there could be a sacrifice good enough to forgive our sins. For there is no sacrifice that we can give to cover our own sin. It only had to come from him, and he knows that. And when we stand before him, we can't say it's because of anything good that we did. It's because of the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. So the judge is standing right at the door. And the next passage goes on to say, as an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those as blessed who endured. The prophets endured many, many troubles and trials when you're reading through the Old Testament. The prophets had a hard time because guess what? They weren't loved by the people they were sharing the word of God with. Isn't that shocking to know? The prophets weren't taken to heart a lot. And I think of Jonah, who it was taken to heart by the Ninevites. And that's what he didn't want to have happen, because he was complaining against his brethren. He didn't want them to be saved. He wanted them to be judged. He wanted them to go to hell. Because they weren't a nice people. Because he knew that if they repented, God was a good and loving God and would forgive them. And he did. And we will have brothers and sisters in Christ from Nineveh. It's going to be very interesting to see the different people that have made it into heaven. And those that thought they were going to be there and aren't. Because they didn't put their trust in the Lord. They put their trust in themselves. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. And James is talking about the Old Testament prophets, but we can also think about the disciples and the things that they suffered for Jesus as well, for their suffering and their patience. For it wasn't only Jesus that was crucified for his message. And when we stand for God, should we think that we aren't going to have those kinds of troubles as well? But as an example of the suffering and the patience that the Lord is asking us to have, look at the prophets. Look at the disciples who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count them as blessed, all those who endured and did what they were called to do. Daniel stood in the lion's den and was protected. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fire and did not get burned. There's so many different things that have happened. But the Lord intervened on their behalf. The Lord is doing his purpose and his will, and it will be accomplished. As an example of suffering and patience. And boy, did they have to have patience. There were prophets who preached and nobody listened. But their job was to preach. Prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We need to follow after Jesus Christ. And we need to not be ashamed of his name. For there's going to come a time when we are going to be persecuted and we're going to be shut off of Facebook. We'll be shut off of different areas. Right now, I praise God, we get an opportunity to share with one another. But even the name of Jesus is so offensive, they're going to take that away from us at some point. If you look at the book of Revelation, if you look at the different things that are said to be happening in the end times, you know that is going to happen as we stand for the Lord. So we count those blessed who endured. So I pray that you would endure, that you would have patience through these times, that you wouldn't be anxious, that you could put your trust in God, that he has his hand on these things, but that his coming is near as these troubles keep growing. But these are just but the birth pangs of what is to come when you look at Revelation. You know, this is nothing compared to what is going to be happening. But it could be the beginnings of that. I'm not going into that eschatology this evening, but what I am going into this evening is we know that the Lord is near, that we don't want to complain against one another, that we know that the suffering and the patience of the prophets and the disciples weren't in vain. We know that our suffering and our patience will not be in vain. By loving and caring for one another, it won't go in vain. For in heaven, there's such rejoicing when one turns from their sin and repents that another is added to the kingdom, that there's a party that goes on in heaven enormously just for one soul that is saved. And if we can, through our lives, just affect one or two or three other people and just let that grow, you know, as we have the opportunity to in our lives, to be able to share the love of Jesus. Let that happen so that others can come into the kingdom, so that when the judge stands, they'll be able to say, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for sending those who shared with me. May you be one of those this week as you spend some time in prayer with the Lord, as you spend time digging into his word. Be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Be comforted that his coming is near, and that he is a just God, and that he is a judge, and he will come to judge, and that we can have confidence that it will be kind and merciful and full of compassion. And we look at the next passage, and that's what it's talking about. You've heard about the patience of Job and seen the outcome of the Lord's dealing. The Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. I think it very interesting that he would use Job. For many Christians today don't like to look at the book of Job. They fear the book of Job because of all the things that Job went through. Well, look at what happened to Job. But if you look at the book of Job, it wasn't done to him by God. You know, Satan came to the Lord and said, hey, guess what? I don't think you can find too many people on earth that really want to follow you and love you. You know, because they'll just fall away if tough times happen. So he asked God if he could give some troubles to Job and that he would see Job fall away. That didn't happen. The patience of Job stood still through some of the worst things that could happen to a person. His wife and his children were killed. All of his riches had been taken away. you know, boils upon his body. All kinds of things were done to him. And in the end, the patience of Job. You see the struggles, if you've ever gone through the book of Job, you see the struggles that he went through. Well, I am a righteous man. I am a good man. You know, I don't understand why these things are happening to me. But by the end of the book of Job, he understood that God is a great and holy and powerful God, and we have nothing to say against him. For he is holy, and he is just, and he is true, and he is faithful. And that compassion and that mercy was shown to Job. And I think that's why James chose Job in this situation. And I think we as Christians shouldn't be afraid to look at the whole Word of God and be able to share it and use it in every way possible to let people know that God loves them and that God cares. For when Job was restored to health, when he was restored, he was given 10 times what he had before, and he was already one of the richest men in the world. But one of the things that he understood from that point on, that God is God. And if he has, great, it's because of the Lord. If he doesn't have, he still has the Lord. Because nobody can take that away. For all the troubles and all the dealings that Job had with, Satan could not take his love of God away and God's love for his child. That love endured all. It endured more than most men could endure on this, the face of this earth, the troubles that Job did. Sometimes we feel like we're going through the troubles of Job. We might be living through times of Job. I used to have a fancy house. I used to have a car. Now I barely have a job. I had to sell my house. I had to downsize. I now, you know, I'm no longer driving a Cadillac. I no longer have that. I'm now driving, a 1978 Subaru. You know, whatever it would be, you know, instead of saying, woe is me, say, praise God for what I do have. I thank God for what I do have. We are like spoiled children. We don't know how to give thanks anymore. You know, that's a condemnation against us, for we feel like we deserve these things. Because sometimes we ask God, God, I don't deserve these things to happen to us. What do we deserve? We deserve the punishment of our own sin. If you look at what we do deserve, his graciousness and his compassion to us allows us to have salvation through Jesus Christ by his love for us. For he is compassionate and merciful. And at the end of our passage tonight, he's asking us to be compassionate and merciful to those in our own congregation. He's asking us to be compassionate and merciful for those we work with. He's asking us to be compassionate and merciful for those that we don't agree with politically. He asks us to be compassionate and merciful and kind, showing people and telling people there is salvation through Jesus Christ, and that through all these troubled times, that God's hand is still here, and he's still seeking those who would seek his face to bring into the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is going to rejoice as you return your life from the ways that you're going and you start following Christ. That's how he calls his disciples, and he said, follow me. He says that same command for us. He says, follow me. That was something that we heard that in our passage last week. You know, follow me. Talked about being grafted into his body, to be able to be fruitful. Today we heard about the farmer and to be patient in the early and the latter rains, that it takes time and patience. It takes the rain. It takes the heat and the scorching sun. It takes all of that to produce the fruit. You know, and some of that suffering and some of that pain is hard to go through, as it was for the prophets, as it was for the disciples. The Lord didn't promise that it was going to be easy for us to follow after him. What he said is, I am with you and I walk with you through it. And he protects us and he guides us. We don't always get the desire of our heart, because what the desire of our heart is not always his will. Let us learn to follow after him and let his will be done in our life
and we'll be able to be thankful. We'll be able to be thankful and rejoice. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That's how I'm going to end this evening. This passage is very interesting, you know, because it talks about the coming of the Lord, that the coming of the Lord is near, that the coming of the judge is near. That just means we need to do our job and to do what he's asked us to do a little bit better. And let us be thankful for the things he's done for us. And let us be grateful. And let people know that it's Christ's love in our heart that gives us a joy and a peace that passes understanding. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this evening and that we could get together, that we could pray with one another, that we get a chance to study the word of God together, that we get to understand that your coming is near. Lord, you've asked us to have patience. You've asked us to understand you better. Help us to seek your face. Help us to pray. Help us to read your word. Help us to be together in fellowship at every opportunity that we have. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would reach out, Lord, through your Son, Jesus Christ, to heal our brother, Tony, and to be with Kyla, and to be with Deb, Lord, that you would touch them. Lord, I pray for Mom. I pray for my mother-in-law, Lord, that you would touch her as well, that you could bring healing to their bodies, Heavenly Father. And if it is your call to bring anyone home, that we should count it as a joy. And if you call it your will to heal, let us praise your name and let's give you glory. Lord, we pray that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help us to walk in your love, in your kindness. Let's share that love with the brothers and sisters in Christ. And let's share it with those that don't believe so that they can know that you are a compassionate and loving God who could forgive us for our sin and he can forgive them too. Help us to learn to love one another, to be thankful. Lord, thank you for the love you've shown to us by sending your Son, Jesus. Thank you for giving us another day. Lord, this is the day that you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I am glad for today. Lord, I am glad for today. If we could wake up each morning and say, Lord, I am glad for today, and start seeking your will and your purpose for our life, we know that things will be changed. We know this world will not be the same anymore. We know that your coming is near. We call you, Lord, to come. Lord, we look forward to your coming. Help us to do the job you've called us to do until that time comes. Help us not to hold on to this world so tightly. Help us to hold on to the word of God and to his brothers and sisters. And help us not to backbite and fight one another. Help us learn to encourage and lift up one another. In the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. I thank you for joining us this evening. Like I said before, we're going to try to get together on Wednesday evening to get back into our Wednesday study about the attributes of God, you know, Lord willing, with Tony's health. We hope that he'll be with us next Saturday evening as well. And hopefully we can prepare to get together in person in the very near future again, depending on, you know, how all the COVID different things are going and how the church will let us in and you know, how our outbreak is going at our own fellowship. We'll be looking into those things as well, and we will get to you and let you know about those things as we can. Thank you for your love tonight. Thank you for being with us. We look forward to seeing you again soon. God bless.